what's going on? Happy Thursday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a bit, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds live on YouTube. But first, let's recap the game from Wednesday night. Reds and Brewers had to sit through an hour and 50-minute rain delay before the game got started, and it was Hunter Green on the mound for the Reds. He walked Brewers leadoff hitter Jackson Churio on five pitches. He was able to get William Contreras to ground out, but then he gave up a two-run home run to noted Reds killer Christian Yelich. Home run went just 367 feet out to right field, and was only a home run in four ballparks in Major League Baseball. Fortunately, Great American Ballpark is one of those four. Green would give up three more runs in the second inning, all coming with two outs on three straight singles that just kind of found a hole. There was an error on an overthrow by Spencer Steer playing left field that was compounded because Hunter Green didn't back up Luke Maley. That allowed two runners to move up a base and at least contributed to one of those runs scoring. Green would settle in. He did retire 11 of the next 13 batters, but he gave up two more runs on a sac fly and then another solo home run. His final line, six innings pitched, six hits, seven runs, six of them earned, one walk, and nine strikeouts. Hunter Green has a 4.86 ERA through his first three starts. The Reds offense's best chance of the day came in the fourth inning. Christian Encarnacion Strand walked for the first time of the season. Jamer Candelaria was hit by a pitch, and then Stuart Fairchild ripped a single, scoring Christian Encarnacion Strand, but Candelaria got thrown out at third base on some bad base running, thinking the throw was coming home to end the inning. Stuart Fairchild's hit was the first and only against Wade Miley in his four innings of work, his first start of the year coming off the IL. Reds' only other offense came on a solo shot by Ellie De La Cruz. More on that in a minute. Buck Farmer threw a shutout inning without allowing a hit and striking out two. Brett Suter, he threw two shutout innings without allowing a hit and had a strikeout, but the Reds would fall 7-2. Reds now 6-6 on the season. Here's what Hunter Green had to say after the game.
This team is obviously ready to hit. They're ready to swing it out the gates. And, you know, I knew that. And I think those first two innings, like being able to, you know, locate those pitches better. I know they're swinging it. If it's over the plate, they're swinging hard. And that's what I could think of as of now. I'm going to obviously go back and watch my film tonight and dissect a little bit more.
And here's Reds manager David Bell.
Even think about maybe moving guys around in the lineup?
I'm not looking to spark anything. I trust our guys. I trust where we are. You know, we're going to continue to work to play better. There's no question. But yeah, I'm not looking to do that. I mean, guys are working hard every single day to continue to get better and get locked in. You know, if they're not swinging the bat, if they're not hot right now, and that's all we can do. So if we get to a point where there's a lineup adjustment that needs to be made, absolutely, but not looking to just shake things up or anything like that.
Well, our deep drive of the game was Ellie De La Cruz's solo home run coming at 110.4 off the bat, traveling 379 feet. Ellie De La Cruz now has three home runs in his last three games. And our deep drive of the day, sponsored as always by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks as always to our friends at DSC. Checking out scores from around the NL Central, Cardinals lost 4-3 to the Phillies, and the Cubs got blasted 10-2. To the Padres. Pirates were off on Wednesday, so that makes your NL Central standings. Pirates up top at 9-3. Brewers are 8-3. Cubs 7-5. Reds 6-6. And the Cardinals are 6-7. All right. Well, here's myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube. Stick around at the end. I'll tell you about all the Reds minor league action for Wednesday night and preview the Reds and Brewers series finale on Thursday afternoon.
All right, Nick. We come to you on a losing edition of Chatterbox Reds. They fall to the Brewers 7-2. What quite frankly can't be summed up in any other way than a disgusting game. A disgusting game, maybe even lump in a disgusting day. If you had something positive happen in your life today, by all means, just remember that and move on if you're a Reds fan, because otherwise it could possibly ruin it. Listen, we can overreact. And let's be honest here. When you do a show like this, it's very tempting to overreact. It's very easy to get into the weeds. It's hard to kind of look at it from a 30,000 feet perspective, whatever the cliche terms. And I am doing my very best, Nick, to just say, you know what? It's super early in the season. Would you rather have this Reds team playing their best ball towards the end of the season or playing their best ball right now? We all know what that answer would be, but there is some semblance of what I would call lack of fundamentals, which we'll get into here in just a minute, and lack of preparation. I don't know, again, if I'm overreacting and saying that, but we'll start with Hunter Green. But I just want to mention, obviously, the home run by Ellie. I just want to say it on the forefront. I know everyone's going to scream and yell about how, if it had that home run, it would have made it a two-run game. Candelario made the third out of third. To be fair, just want to be fair here, he's not hitting left-handed, okay? There's no chance in the world they're gonna bring out Miley to allow him to face a right-handed pitcher to then hit a home run. That wasn't going to happen. Now, he could have hit a home run right-handed, to be fair, but I just want that to be known.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. The Brewers, no chance they would have left Miley in, but, you know, when the bases are empty, you say, all right, wait, this was his first start coming off of the IL, first start of the season. He only threw like 55 pitches in his one rehab start. So, yeah, I mean, that was kind of the time to pull him. But, yeah, we'll get to the fundamentals here in a second. I don't know, what was your overall thoughts on Hunter Green?
I don't make too much of it yet. I think that Hunter Green, unfortunately, though, is going to have his what we'd call his above average stuff to be effective. That's the only concern I take away. Can Hunter Green survive a baseball game if he doesn't have his quote unquote best stuff, or we don't even need to say his best stuff, just like average stuff? And I think the answer, unfortunately, is kind of in a situation where probably not, which is disappointing. And I know that people are going to point towards the pitch availability of what he throws, and it's going to end up being fastball slider. He needs, and this has been talked about so many times, Nick, that I don't know how many more times you can talk about it before you're just blue in the face, but can he develop a third pitch or not? I don't know. Can he develop some type of ability to locate maybe more times than not? Because the slider, sometimes it just doesn't slide. It hangs, and it's floating, and it's spinning right down the middle, and it gets hit. And then, unfortunately, if he's not able to locate his slider, then he's left with a fastball that, if you pitch in the big leagues, we all understand that if you got one pitch, it probably isn't going to work out. And unfortunately, tonight for Hunter, it didn't quite work out. And I know that you're I don't want to prelude here. I know the expected batting average is what it is. I'd like to get it. I don't want to get into the weeds of that, but at the same time, it's like, you know, he did give up two runs on a ball that was to India's left, that he was shifted over to the middle. Probably not a hit. If he's not a shift either one, he's not shifted over as far, or two, India has a little more range. But I'm not going to get on India tonight. Like, it's not about that. Like, at the end of the day, this whole team needs to be better. I'm not going to try to single anybody out specifically.
Yeah, I don't, like, Hunter Green was not great tonight by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think he was six earned runs bad. That's maybe, I guess, where I would start. Looking at his pitch mix tonight, threw 105 pitches, 54 were four-seam fastball, 40 were slider, 7 curveball, 4 splitter. The splitter, he couldn't, none of them were strikes. They were all out of the zone. I didn't think anyone to chase him, so clearly, I don't think he had a good feel for that pitch. And if you don't have a feel for the pitch and you can't throw it for a strike, it's not really going to do a whole lot. So I think if he's able to locate that splitter, I think it's able to take him to another level. The two things that really, I guess, would irk me about Hunter's start tonight would have been walking the very first batter of the game. But it was his only walk of the entire game, so it's hard to be too upset about that. And then him not covering home plate. On the ball that Sear overthrew, I don't think I saw a replay of that. I don't know if he was, you know, frustrated just kind of the way things were going early, or if it was just a, you know, situation, a mental error. I don't really know, but I mean, those are the things that I think would be, you know, more of, hey, you got to clean those up more than necessarily the way he's pitching or anything like that. The one positive though, looking at Hunter Green, the first start of the year, he walked four batters. Last two starts, he's only walked one in each of those starts. So, that's a sign of progress. I know people don't want to hear it, but still a very, very young pitcher. He's younger than Andrew Abbott, and who was drafted in 2017, but takes time for pitchers to develop in the big leagues. And for some reason, it just feels like the Brewers just, they have his number, and, you know, hopefully the next time he faces him, he can change that narrative a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing, the only pushback that, that I think is well-deserved or rightfully deserved with the young statement or the youth statement in general moving forward is just trying to figure out how many years you have left of service control. And he signed a contract that pretty much got him out of arbitration years, and I understand that maybe this doesn't apply to Hunter Green per se, but you know, when you bring a guy up as young as you do with Hunter or as young as you do with Ellie, yeah, they might only be 22, but you only get them for how many more years? 5 years. So they have to, at some point, you maybe you give them a year or so. I'm not suggesting they have to come up as rookies and light it up right away. But at the same time, the last thing that I would like to do or desire as a Reds fan is to bring guys up and then they're on the job learning for 2-3 years at the big league level. And then by the time they figure it all out, well, you either have to pay them or they're going to leave or you have to trade them because you can't afford to keep them. Which obviously is a whole Major League Baseball issue in and of itself, but I'm really not going to go down that path tonight with Hunter, and I don't think we should. I think at the end of the day, I still feel okay about this team. I do have concerns with, as we've talked about at the beginning, with the injuries. This stuff's going to catch up to us. It's going to catch up to us. You can say whatever you want. You got Espinal playing second base. Candelario, with all due respect, is not. Really produced at anywhere near the level that he's going to have to produce for this team to be competitive. The good news is that you'd like to think that will turn itself around. You go all the way back, you date back to last year with Candelario. He obviously struggled towards the end of the year with the Cubs. He kind of rolls that into this year. I don't know how much longer you give him before, you know, you really start to have major concerns, but I'm not sounding the alarm yet. But we're getting close on some of these guys. CES, you mentioned it. Maybe had some decent at-bats tonight, but I don't know. The whole youth thing, Nick, at some point, these guys have got to find a way to start producing so we can capitalize while we have them, for lack of a better term. So,
yeah, CES tonight did finally get his first walk of the year. Also, didn't have anything to show for it, but had two hard hit balls, including that one in the ninth that hit 106 off the bat. 397 feet. So, I'm more confident. Are you more confident in CES than Candelario at this point? I probably am.
No, man. I look at one and the same. They both look lost at times. I do think CES is actually starting to have a little bit better at bats. Candelario, I don't know. I think he's. My gut says he's pressing. If we're being honest, my gut says he's pressing. But that's part of baseball. So you got to fight through it. I just don't know if it's a new team. He wants to make a quick, immediate impact. He knows what he got paid. He knows what he's expected to do. I'll say this about Candelario. If I'm allowed to say something nice about a guy when I don't want to, there's some leadership traits there. There's some leadership qualities that he has, that he possesses. He's a vibe guy. I can tell he wants to rally the troops. So I think if he starts playing well, that will elevate, I think, the rest of the guys a pretty considerable amount. But he's got to start playing well, and we shall find out. Let's get into the fundamentals, Nick. You had mentioned it with Hunter Green to kind of segue into that off of Hunter Green. Hunter Green's the only person that will know, unless maybe there's a reporter after the game that wants to ask him and he's honest about it. I don't know if it was just a mental mistake where he just kind of forgot that he needed to back up, or maybe he was just upset that he gave up the hit in the first place. But you know what? They both add up in the same regard. Whether you accidentally got in a car accident or you purposely hit somebody, guess what? You got in a car accident. He was standing in the middle of the field no matter what happened, and that can't happen. So David Bell's a guy that I've kind of gotten upset with about him. He just doesn't show guys up. And that's okay, by the way. That's more than fine. It's just that I pray to God that there's some accountability on the back end of this. That when you go back into the clubhouse and you leave the facility, or when I say leave the facility, you get out of the public eye, there's a conversation that gets had. And there's like, hey, this is an expectation that we do these things. And the reason we do these things is because ultimately all those little things, they add up to a big thing. And we all know that. You hear people talk about that. But as much as they want to preach hustling, they want to preach running the bases with reckless abandon, and they want to preach playing the game hard the right way and all those things. Well, you know, the basic fundamentals of backing up home plate after you give up a hit so two guys can't advance on a Spencer Steer overthrow, and Candelario running himself into the third out when you're down five runs with a guy coming up to the plate that can make it a two-run game. And oddly enough, as we talked about at the beginning of the show, he could have made it a two-run game. He did hit a home run the very next inning. To be fair, though, there's a big asterisk there. I don't know if it would have been the same situation. Just saying all that, it needs to get cleaned up. And that was my whole... That's the tweet that I put out about Ellie, Nick, as I ramble on here, was more about the fundamentals than it was of my disdain for Ellie and the player. It's like, let's do things the right way. And if you're not going to do things the right way, then there's consequences. And I hope that's happening behind closed doors, at least.
Yeah, I know there was an interview with Jonathan India where he talked about David Bell's managing style and said that, you know, he'll get on him, but he does it in a one-on-one setting after the game. So I have to take India's word for it that he does hold them accountable. It's not his style to do that in person. And I don't, there's not really a whole lot of managers around baseball that really are that style anymore. The days of Lou Piniella, those type of managers, that's long gone. That's just not the way baseball is. Not the way most sports are really anymore. You even look at like college basketball. It's not that way.
Outside the guy that's won back-to-back national championships, to be fair, that has the best team in the country. Besides him, though, outside of that guy that does all those things, everyone else probably doesn't do it.
Does he actually get on his players, or is it just the refs?
I'm pretty sure Dan Hurley's getting on his player. Now, to be fair, I'm not trying to be that guy. To be fair, I mean, I'm sure that's not the only reason as to why they win. But I had to bring it up, Nick. I had to bring it up.
Maybe David Bell needs to do that. You know, David Bell's a guy who goes after the umpires, and maybe if you go a little harder at the umpires, it gives you more leash to go after your players because they're like, well, he didn't go as hard as that guy did, kind of like Dan Hurley does. Maybe that's how he gets away with it.
Perhaps. Who knows? We shall find out. But you got a good point. You make a very good point.
But, look, the fundamentals, it's brutal. It's the worst thing to watch from a baseball team. I know a lot of people really get upset at like strikeouts. That doesn't bother me. I know a lot of people get upset at the start from Hunter Green tonight where he gives up a few. That doesn't really bother me. But bad defense, it's brutal. And this has been a problem from this franchise for far too long. What else you say other than, Marte, McClain, and Friedel, three of your best defenders? It's like every night you feel that on the defensive side more than the offensive side. It's not even close, in my opinion.
I 100% agree. It's a trickle-down effect, too. Like, I mean, just the concept that I don't know, man. It's so hard to watch at times.
It's almost like the trickle-down effect. It's almost like when you lose your closer and then you have this guy pitching in this spot and right. You have this guy pitching. It's like that with the Reds defense. And
I don't know how you fix it. I that's the one thing, though. Everyone's going to be like, you're going to scream and yell and get mad, and I'm with you. I mean, listen, there's nothing worse than in the sixth inning tonight, I literally just want to turn the TV off and be done with the Reds and just be like, all right, I'll wake up tomorrow. Maybe I'll feel better because I'm just tired of watching this. And I think it's honestly at this point, there's scar tissue here that's the reason why. One, you got a rain delay. You wait the rain delay out. They finally play, and they're playing the Brewers. You're trying to make sure that maybe you can win the series. Worst case scenario, obviously, maybe split. And then you watch the game, and it's like the Brewers do all the little things right. And the Brewers, you think, don't have anywhere near the talent level that the Reds have. But yet for 2 years, they've just completely, it's late at night, I'm going to say it, they've kicked their ass. They've just kicked their ass. And it's just frustrating to watch the Brewers continue to make play after play in the field. And then you watch the Reds and it's like routine plays. And I'm not going to compare them to a Little League team, but like, let's face it. Like that ball to Spencer Steer when he overthrew the, Luke Maley's tripping over his cleats. Hunter Green standing 5 feet from the mound. The Brewers are just running the bases at will. It's tough watch. So it is what it is. Hopefully they clean it up. And it's, again, to be, it's April 10th, okay? The Reds are 500, and I know what people are going to say, and they're kind of right, Nick. They're kind of right. This was the time or the month, we had about a month here, and we're slowly running out of that month to try to stockpile a decent record when we get into May when we play some really good teams. But I'll say this, last year we did the same stuff. We did the same stuff. We talked about, oh, look how tough this month is, and then look at the final month. We played almost better against all the teams that we weren't supposed to beat. So I'm not going to sit here and declare the season dead because we have a tough schedule coming up. But they have a point. The pessimistic crowd has a little bit of a point.
And the Brewers, too, it also like feels worse because it's not like you're getting beat by the Dodgers lineup. Like you're getting beat by a team that's like smoking beers, like. Half these guys are not even average big league hitters,
No. But
to the Brewers' credit, they have a style and they stick to it. Their style is pitching well. They play great defense. They find a couple, you know, under the radar hitters and undervalued hitters, and they keep turning it out and winning. I don't know. It's just, the Brewers, they're just a hard team to figure out. But this year especially, man, they just do not feel like they're even as good as the teams that from previous years that already don't feel as good on paper as they end up being. So, I don't know. It'd be nice just to get a win tomorrow, get them out of town, and yeah. I think we could all take a deep breath and say, hey, we'll see them again down the road.
And that's the beautiful thing about tomorrow, too, is they could find a way to scratch out a win, and it feels disgusting. The Brewers series feels like a disgusting mess, and you split. And that's, I feel like Nick's going to come on the podcast tomorrow night and tomorrow evening and be like, if I would have told you that they were going to split with the Brewers, we'd all been like, all right, that's probably about what would have happened. Yeah, we've done this too long already to know, but that's probably what's going to happen. And you know what? I'm here for it. Ellie De La Cruz, he's, you know what's sad about some of this? I thought about this tonight. Had a pretty damn good game tonight. You know how many people care? You know how many people are going to give him credit for it? Not many. Now, I will say his statistics obviously add up, but he hits a home run and what many people would call a meaningless home run. They used to give Joey Votto the same type of lip about it. Like, oh yeah, Joey Votto, look at him. He's hitting home runs when it doesn't matter. It's like, dude, you're playing the game, man. You're playing the game. It all adds up. Ellie, at least at this point right now, he looks like he's about to maybe get hot. Hopefully I don't jinx it, but that seems like that's the sentiment moving forward here.
Just got this from my friend Reds in Four.
Yeah.
Ellie hasn't struck out in 10 consecutive plate appearances.
Good job, guys. Really nice. You and Reds in Four. All right. I mean, now you're on the hot seat. I'm just going to let you know. I mean, what are we doing?
Super tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, what are we doing? I mean, come on. You guys here to hear first. I know that some people don't believe in jinxes. I know some people don't believe in jinxes, but boy, if you're a jinx kind of guy, that is, I mean, what are we doing? Go ahead.
And look, it's good to see to see Ellie.
Nice stat, Nick. I like that one.
That was a good stat. Sorry. I won't bring good stats. I don't know. I don't know. And look, it's good to see Ellie playing well. I mean, he's had several really good games in a row. I mean, this is kind of what you expect. And I'll just caution people, there's gonna be another roller coaster dip.
Yeah,
it's
going to
be coming soon at some point. That's just the kind of player he's going to be this year. So you got to ride the waves. I think it's probably going to be the same with Hunter Green, although I think it should be a little higher expectations for his level of consistency throughout the year. But that's just what you're going to get with you know, young players that are very toolsy. That a large portion of their game in Hunter Green's case is striking out a ton of batters. In Ellie De La Cruz's case, it's sitting the ball, you know, 2 miles out of the ballpark. With that comes some of the downside of in like Hunter Green's case, giving up some hard contact, giving up some home runs. I think Justin Verlander led the league in home runs allowed 2 years ago and was still like one of the best pitchers in the sport. With Ellie De La Cruz's case, it's going to come with a lot of strikeouts. That's just the players that they are, and you just got to ride the waves and hope there's a lot more high waves than there are, and I believe there will.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Ellie's certainly got some rough edges to him right now that need to get polished out, but the beautiful thing is from time to time that that he shines as bright as anybody, and we've said this all along, Ellie's more than capable of carrying this team, and I'm all for it at this point, because you know what? Spencer Steer, I love Spencer Steer, but Spencer Steer is going to come back down to earth, everybody. He can't carry this team all year long. Guess who's going to have to figure it out? It's going to have to be CES. It's going to have to be Candelario. It's going to have to be maybe Ellie gets hot. It's going to have to be a team effort, because Spencer Steer, for all intents and purposes, has put this team on his back offensively for the first, you know, what I call it, 10 games of the season. But let's face it, we also know that's not going to last much longer. It's time for somebody to step up. Speaking of stepping up, Game Time. Don't know if you know about them, but they are a ticketing sponsor of ours. I need for you to do us a favor. Today's been a tough day. I need you to figure out. You know what? Sometimes I tell you what, when I'm having a bad day, maybe this is just capitalism. Maybe this is just tricking the consumer. I'm not sure what it is. But if I'm having a bad day, sometimes I just decide, you know what? I'm going to treat myself. I'm going to go either. Most of the time, I just get ice cream because it's cheap. And it also makes me feel better. But besides that, what you could do is you say, you know what? I'm going to go watch these guys. I want to see these guys do the little things right in person. I want to see all the fundamentals being had. In fact, you know what? Gather up your Little League team. Take them down to Great American and show them how to play the game of baseball, everybody, okay? And what you can do is you can get $20 off your first purchase with Game Time if you use the code CINCY, that is Cincy. It's not on my shirt. I thought it was. CINCY. That is Cincy. Use the code. You get $20 off your first purchase. In the Game Time app, it's legit. You've heard us talk about it time and time and time again. But we appreciate you supporting us. And if you have not already, download the Game Time app and use the code Cincy. And we would appreciate that. Stuart Fairchild, you were asking, hey, who to put on the rundown? What do we do? What do we talk about? You know, what's funny is we kind of just talked about a whole plethora of things there for quite some time. You know, how long we want to go into Stu, I don't really mind, but I just want to tell you this. He has earned his keep. He has earned his keep. You know why? Because there's certain times you look the part. You look like you belong. And I'm going to tell you right now, Stuart Fairchild looks like he belongs. As at least, at minimum, a bench player, a guy that can come off the bench and steal a bag, but more importantly, if they bring in a left-hander to face Benson, to face Fraley, to even, I mean, they're not going to pinch at Ellie De La Cruz because they're too prideful, but to face somebody that ultimately is not a good matchup for a left-handed pitcher, Stuart Fairchild is the man for that, and he is more than capable of being on a World Series team. That's a fact. And Stuart Fairchild deserves his flowers, and I'm going to continue to give them to him.
Yeah, he's played well, and the Reds really need him, especially against, you know, left-handed pitching. It's a pretty rough bottom of the order against lefties. So he's got his role. He's doing well. I think defensively, he's looked really good since was it opening day or was it the second game? It was whatever early in the year. He had that one game where made a couple. Questionable plays.
Well, listen, let's go there real fast. Okay, there was a little bit of a miscommunication with Ellie on that one play, and then he didn't know how many outs there were. I can't excuse that, but that seems to be par for the course for the club right now. We just, nobody really knows, you know, baseball a whole lot. You know, no one knows where to back up. No one knows you don't make the third out at third base when you're down by five. No one knows how many outs there are. It's just, it is what it is. And now who do you want to blame? Maybe we always defend David Bell, but maybe David Bell, you know, I think, I don't know, you're at the top of the food chain in those situations. So at some point, let's rally the troops up and kind of have a conversation about it. But to be fair to him, listen, if, like, you could say this about a lot about this year. If someone, one of his teammates just picked him up, if Ellie De La Cruz catches that ball in center field, then again, no one talks about it. If he catches a ball out in the middle of at Wrigley Field when they lost 24-2 in a game that probably didn't matter at all, whether he caught the ball or not, no one would talk about him. Like, Stuart Fairchild, you're trying to give him like the devil's advocate. Don't give that pessimistic crowd any credit. We're not giving him credit. The kid's good. I'm going to say it. The kid's good.
Hey, you don't tell me. I believed it for a while. I think he's a useful player, and I'm glad he's on the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah. Chat questions here as we kind of wrap up the show. Usually we're on here for an hour or so tonight. You know, sometimes when you go out fishing and you realize maybe after a few hours they're not biting, you just decide to pack it up and go home and get dinner. I love you, chat. You aren't the problem. It's just what I had to watch for the last 3 hours. It was disgusting, and there's only so much one can talk about it before they get sick. Listen, there's people that are frustrated with Hunter, people that are frustrated with Espinal. I know people are frustrated in the chat tonight. There's no doubt about it. We got Mr. Juan out here. I think Juan's trolling. He's been an OG chat. He's saying the bullpen's the number one problem. They had not given up a run in like 6 games. So he has to be trolling, right, Nick?
Yeah, I guess shout out for trolling, because I didn't mention Buck Farmer threw a scoreless inning. Buck Farmer got a 2.70 ERA. So you like to see that. Brett Suter, another 2 scoreless innings. And I said it before, but his ability to throw multiple innings, I really love that for this team. I really love that you can count on him to do that, something that was really missing last year. And that stuff matters, because you can't – I don't think the Reds would have thrown a position player down 7-2, but you can't do that anymore. That's not legal. So, for him to be able to go 2 instead of only going 1, that's one more reliever that's saved for tomorrow. And that's just a really, really, I think, a good thing to see. But I do have one thing, Trace, before we get to any other questions. I want to shout out Jackson Crow. You know, tonight we're doing these shows, and you're like, does anyone really want to actually talk about the Reds? Jackson shouting us out on Twitter. Love watching this show every night. Put a screenshot of him watching. So shout out to you, Jackson. You lifted my spirits like Ellie De La Cruz has been lifting the Red spirits over the last week. And I'm feeling good. Hey, we're going to go on a run now. And I feel it all because of you, Jackson.
There you go. Hey, I mean, listen, you never know. We're one day away from us being all the way back, as we know. That's how this show goes from time to time. You know, I know Steve's in the chat, and maybe this just shouldn't trigger me, but Steve, and I love Steve. Steve's been around for a long time, but he's saying the standards are low around here. Stu's not very good. I mean, what do you want this dude to do, man? What do you want this to do? He robbed a home run last night. What's he hitting, Nick? What's he hitting?
304.
He's hitting 304. He stole a bag the other night, a very meaningful bag. What's his WAR? Let's get into sabermetrics. Well, he's probably like I'm just saying, what is he this year's WAR? Is he third best player on the team? Fourth best player on the team? It probably goes Spencer Steer, Ellie De La Cruz, Stuart Fairchild. That's my guess. Can you pull that up? I mean, that's asking a lot out of you in real time, I know, but I'm just wondering, man. I'm wondering. That reminds me of like the really wealthy kid at the amusement park. It's like, no matter what that poor parents do for that rich kid, he's never happy. It's like, oh, the cotton candy's not cotton enough. The root beer's not beery enough. The ride isn't high enough. It's like, what in the absolute hell are we doing around here? I get that we're frustrated. I get we're pissed off. I understand that Hunter Green, for lack of a better term, was piss poor tonight. I understand that we just watched a guy that we paid $20 million to get thrown out at third base by 7 feet when there was 2 outs in the inning, and we were down by 5 runs, and Ellie De La Cruz was coming to the plate, and he could have made it a 2-run game. And what did he do? He hit a home run the very next at bat. Of course those things are pissed off. You should be pissed. But Stuart Fairchild continues to get this wrath of unrational hate around here, and I'm just wondering why we want to keep picking on the one kid when the rest of the class is the one that actually sucks. That's all. I mean, could you imagine if Stuart Fairchild was making $20 million a year hitting .125 with a slugging percentage of .175? No, instead he's hitting 305s. He's ripping balls from Caleb 513 out there in the moon sun deck, or whatever the hell they decide to call it. And we want to get on his. I digress.
Do you still want the leaders in WAR?
Yeah, who is it?
Spencer Steer, he's at a full win above replacement. This is the baseball reference version.
So he's number one.
Number two is Ellie De La Cruz.
Two for two.
Probably will go up, too, because he had a homer today. It doesn't calculate till about 3 o'clock in the morning. Frankie Montas, number three, a half win.
Damn.
Tied with Hunter Green.
Not a position player, by the way.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Gotta skip him. Will Benson next at .4. Stuart Fairchild tied with Will Benson at .4. Then you have Jonathan.
So he's tied for number third. Tied for number third on the position players.
Yeah, playing part-time.
Exactly, playing part-time. And you know what I'll also add about that? And this is more than fair to everyone that wants to keep doing this to Stu. If you think Stu is below average and or is terrible, then you know what? Let's just call it what it is. You don't think this team's very good. Like, you think this team sucks. And that's okay, too, if that's how you feel. But I don't feel that way.
Bring back Henry Ramos, am I right?
Right. What's funny is I heard today, obviously, Reed, the few things that Reed does well during the baseball season. He brought up the starting lineup at this date last year. We had Vossler playing first base. We had Henry Ramos, I think, was maybe DHing, or Jason Vossler was DHing. They had those three guys in the lineup. Kevin Newman was in the lineup, and I think Jose Barrera was our starting shortstop. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. We could go back to that. Golly, I can't believe we were thinking about doing a show after every single game with that game. Excuse my language.
All right, let's run through the Reds minor league action from Wednesday night. Start off with AAA, where the Louisville Bats won 3-2 over the Columbus Clippers. Levi Jordan hit a game-tying single in the bottom of the ninth. And P.J. Hickens hit a walk-off single in the bottom of the 10th for the Bats. Louisville improves to 5-6 on the season. Blake Dunn 0-for-2 with a walk. Mike Ford was 2-for-5. Ford actually had 4 hard-hit balls on Wednesday afternoon. Reese Hines 1-for-4 with a double. A Hines double came at 1-0-7 off the bat. Brett Kennedy, you might remember him from last season. He had a great start in this one. Went 6 innings, just gave up 3 hits, no runs in the game, so great start from Brett Kennedy. Ian Jabeau on a rehab assignment. Jabeau started with the Dayton Dragons. They've moved him to the Louisville Bats. He struggled on Wednesday afternoon. Only got 2 outs, gave up 3 hits, 2 earned runs. Threw 17 of his 26 pitches for strikes. Had an average fastball of 92.7. It's down about 2.5 miles per hour from normal. The Columbus Clippers had 2 balls hit off Jabeau at 104 or better off the bat, so they were certainly squaring up Jabeau. Speaking of rehab assignments, it was announced that Sam Moll was returned from his rehab assignment, so it sounds like he's probably going to be shut down for a little while. I haven't heard any more word. I might remember we talked about how Moll's velocity has been down a little bit during his minor league rehab assignment. Tony Santion, he threw a perfect inning with a strikeout. I got a pretty incredible stat on Santion. So he's allowed just 2 runs in 12 and a third innings between spring training and so far with AAA. And in those 12 and a third innings, he has 20 strikeouts and just 2 walks. Pretty incredible stuff from Tony Santion. All right, down to AA, the Chattanooga Lookouts lost 9-3 to Tennessee. Lookouts still searching for their first win of the year. They are now 0-4. Tyler Callahan had a great day for the Lookouts, though. 3-for-4 with a triple and a stolen base. Austin Hendrick was 1-for-4. Tough night on the pitching staff for 2 of the more talented arms down in Chattanooga. Hunter Parks really struggled with his command. He walked 5 batters over 3 1/3 innings, ended up giving up 3 earned runs. And then Andrew Moore, he, of course, was part of the Luis Castillo return. He only got 1 batter out, gave up 5 earned runs as he struggled with command as well, walking 3. Down to high A, the Dayton Dragons, they got beat up pretty good, 11-2 by Cedar Rapids. In the game, Sal Stewart was 2-for-4, Cam Collier 1-for-4. Hector Rodriguez, he stayed hot, 3-for-4. Hector Rodriguez now hitting .500 with an OPS over .1400 through his first 5 games. Leo Balcazar was 1-for-4. One sour note, though, Jay Allen was placed on the IL with knee inflammation. Allen had been off to a really good start for the Dragons. player that has a lot of talent. Last year struggled with a lot of injuries, so certainly very discouraging to see him already on the IL here in early April. Down to low A, the Daytona Tortugas, they lost 5-3 to Palm Beach. Tortugas now 2-3 on the season. Alfredo Duno, he was 1-4. He's Reds' number 10 ranked prospect. He's hitting .214 with a .675 OPS through his first four games with Daytona. Good day, though, for Carlos Sanchez. He was 2-4. And then one of the more talented Reds pitching prospects down at Daytona, Anier Loreno. He went in an inning, gave up one earned run, but did strike out two. All right, Reds and Brewers. Game four of this four-game series. Reds looking to finish off the homestand with a series split. Be 1:10 p.m. on Thursday afternoon on Bally Sports Ohio. Nick Martinez getting the ball for the Reds. Martinez looked really good through his first couple starts in the early innings. First couple innings, he's been really good. But he's really struggled mostly a little later in the game. Fourth and fifth innings have really kind of bit him. So we'll see if he can clean it up and pitch a more complete game on Thursday. We don't know if it'll be his last start with the Reds, as Nick Lodolo is scheduled to start on Saturday. We'll have to wait and see on that. But Martinez has a career 4.96 ERA, 16 1/3 against the Brewers. Gary Sanchez has a home run against him. Christian Yelich is 3-10. William Contreras is 2-4 with a double. And for the Brewers, it'll be Freddy Peralta. He was their opening day starter this year with, of course, no Corbin Burns, Brandon Woodruff on the IL for most of this season at least. He's got a 3.09 ERA so far this season through his first two starts. He's been dominant against the Reds. Career 2.88 ERA in 19 games. And he's been even better at 2.85 ERA in 9 starts at Great American Ballpark. Active Reds just 6-40. No home runs against Freddy Peralta. Hopefully that changes on Thursday. Jonathan India 2-12. Ty Stevenson, he's 2-6. Ellie is 0-5 with 3 strikeouts. Jake Fraley 1-5. And Spencer Steer is 0-3. All right, well, thanks so much as always for listening to Chatterbox Reds. Appreciate all your support. If you have not yet subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, wherever you listen to this podcast, make sure you do that right now. New podcast the morning after every single game all season long. Also, be sure to subscribe to Chatterbox Sports over on YouTube, where we do our live post-game shows and have a lot of other content. If you could, leave us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast. We'd really appreciate that. And even more important, just tell a friend about Chatterbox Reds. Tell them what we do here. If you know a Reds fan, let them know about us, and hopefully they can check us out. Off the Bench, 10 a.m. to noon, Chatterbox Sports on YouTube. My co-host here at Chatterbox Reds, Trace Fowler, hosts that show. I'm sure they'll be talking a lot about this Reds game. John Calipari, a lot going on with the UK job after he left for Arkansas. I'm sure they'll be talking about that. We'll hope that you have a fantastic Thursday. We'll see you on Chatterbox Reds. Hopefully, if the rain is able to stay away, Chatterbox Reds live after the game. If you miss us there, we'll be here in podcast form on Friday morning. We'll talk again soon. Go Reds.